listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hi, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. I'm Tony Cookston, and Corey Valdez is sitting right next to me and acting like he's not here, but that's okay. And we have got a special guest on the show right now. We've got a couple of special guests on the show, but right now we're going to take a moment to talk to our realtor connection, Dave Schuster, with John L. Scott Realty. Dave, are you on the phone?
Yes, good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
Good morning, Dave.
We are wonderful. It's beautiful where we are.
I hear you're, are you doing a little Little League this morning?
The only place you'll find me on a Saturday morning, you bet.
All right, so let's real quick, let's take our real estate minute and find out what's going on in the marketplace.
You bet, you bet. Well, the general climate right now is low inventory levels. In other words, there's not enough homes for sale to meet the demand at the current pace of sales. We're at about 3 months' worth of inventory at the moment, so it's become quite the seller's market. So if anybody has anything that they want to put up for sale, now would be a great time.
3 months of inventory, you say?
Correct.
And we determined at some point in time earlier in the year that 6 months of inventory is a balanced inventory. And that,
exactly,
that relates to the Pacific Northwest, so you know, Oregon, Washington, kind of this area, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, anywhere in general, if there's 6 months supply of inventory based on the current travel rate or pace of sales, it's balanced. It's neither a seller market nor a buyer market. You know, last 4 or 5 years, we were used to, you know, 15 months of inventory, 12 months of inventory, and you could close your eyes and point, and there'd be something for sale, right?
Right. Everybody was just dropping prices as fast as they could. I've actually heard of a lot of home areas rising quite a bit more and faster, coming back to where they were, maybe not necessarily in 2006, but still pretty good.
Oh, well, actually, you know, if you roll the time machine back a little bit, actually, we're somewhere at about spring of 2005 level of pricing.
Holy cow!
Really?
Yeah, it's about spring of 2005 in our time machine right now, as far as pricing goes. So it's on. This is a correction for the correction, really. You know, it stands to the theory that real estate more or less goes up 5% per year for the last, you know, number of years that they've been tracking it, and it went up too fast, you know, in the 2005, 6, 7 era, and then it went down too fast for 7, 8, and 9. So now we're back to 2005.
Well, that is great news.
That is great. I mean, it's not a buyer's market. It's not a seller's market. It's a neutral market. Is that what you said? Or did you
well,
say
at
it's
at the
a...
moment, no, it's a bit of a seller's market, but sellers are smart right now, too. You know, they're not taking advantage so much where they're running the price up so much that they're actually turning off buyers. What's for sale currently really seems to, you know, sellers, I think, have really wrapped their heads around the ideas of good current values. You know, there was many years of denial and disappointment and that sort of thing, but now that we're back to prices that home sellers are finding acceptable to put their houses on the market for, and buyers are agreeing. And the quality of homes for sale right now is really nice, with a lot less foreclosures and short sales going on. It's a lot more resale.
And with the interest rates still low, you know, it's not just a seller's market.
Oh, no.
It's a buyer's market as well, because there's more good products coming on the market, and with the interest rates low, it's the time to do it. So that's very exciting information.
Yep, affordability is there. And also the other thing we're seeing is new home construction. These guys are out there building houses again, even $500,000 and $600,000 and $700,000 houses.
Wow. We're definitely seeing that.
Yeah, but you bet.
All right, Dave, well, we appreciate the minute. How can people get a hold of you if they want to buy or sell a home?
Oh, real easy. If you want to buy or sell a home, you can call 503-504-DAVE. That's 503. Yeah, 503-504-DAVE.
Can't get any easier than that. 503-504-DAVE.
And also, if you want to just go out and watch him coach some T-ball, 503-504-DAVE.
That's right. If you'd like to offer any baseball strategy to me,
Awesome. I love it. Thanks so much for being on the show, Dave. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're welcome. Gentlemen, have a great weekend.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
You know, that's a good point that, you know, home values are coming back. And I think, you know, during the recession that we had from 2008 to 2012, Ryan, I'll bet you saw this.
Oh yes,
everybody stopped building.
Absolutely.
Period. But I'm sure they even really stopped building decks and
yes,
and those projects that they didn't think they would ever get their money out.
Yeah,
but
let's remind the listeners, we've got Ryan LeBlanc with LeBlanc Decks LLC.
Yes. Well, LeBlanc Construction LLC, DBA.
LeBlanc Construction LLC, okay.
DBA LeBlanc X.
And, yeah, so do you see how can I? You built decks probably for new homes, for contractors that have built new homes. Had you come in and put a deck on it?
Generally speaking, actually, because I've been doing this for about 10 years now, most of our clients are actually residential clients who already live in their home. They have a dilapidated deck that they want, you know, repaired, improved, tore out, and completely replaced, or they have a typical home that has just a concrete patio out back, and they want a new deck added to it. Really, we haven't done a lot of brand new home construction.
I know that there's a lot of guys that are building houses out there that don't want to. They just want to frame it up,
yeah.
You know. Or you've got somebody that doesn't do any of the work themselves. They contract it all
right.
out. They got a framer. They got a roofer. They got a right sider, and then they bring in a deck contractor. So I was thinking to myself, there is a lot of new construction going on.
Right.
Corey and I have a unique perspective on that because we work for Par Lumber Company. So we see the permits, we see the permit listings, we see the loads going out, we see the numbers coming up. So we know there's a lot of new construction going on out there, but there's a lot of, so obviously a lot of decks being installed now too.
A lot of decks being installed.
So that being said, I mean, as a professional deck contractor, you know, you said you're going in to replace old dilapidated
mm-hmm.
decks.
Yep.
You know, I think for the people that are out there that have, say, older decks that might not be in need of being fully replaced, mm-hmm. is there something that they could do to give longevity to their deck?
Well, if you have a, you know, let's say a cedar deck, that's usually the most common deck covering that people use. Certainly maintaining it as far as refinishing it, keeping the stain on it, that will certainly elongate the length of the life of the deck, certainly. You know, making sure that the subframe underneath, it's, you know, kept out of the soil. A lot of times decks that are really low, leaves and debris will build up and can start touching the frame, especially if it's built from Doug fir. I know in the Portland area, I think everything has to be PT, but some of the older stuff probably is Doug fir, and that can certainly increase the chance for rot.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing.
That's a big design difference between the valley
yes.
and then the high desert.
Yes.
Over here in the high desert.
Right, we are not required to use PT, of course, unless it's touching the concrete or the ground.
That's crazy. And they're using PT in Washington.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're using PT in Washington. So that's different even so much more from because you guys
yes.
are so far east.
East, yeah. Yeah, it's just so dry up. We pull out decks that are 30-plus years old that are literally built from Doug fir, and some of those posts are in the ground. I mean, they're rotting out now, but it's been 30-plus years, and they're still going strong.
That so
is
crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know.
That is incredible.
As a matter of fact, we get our pressure-treated lumber that we buy and sell at Par Lumber Company from a manufacturing plant in Washington.
That's right.
Exterior wood
yep.
in Washougal, Washington.
Yeah, another thing that people can do if they, you know, if you're really on a budget and you're, you know, you just, I just do not have the money for a deck, but this thing's, you know, really, really bad. There is a product out there. You know, I've only used it one time, but it's a product that you can kind of roll on like a paint, and they roll it on and it makes this kind of a thick, it's almost like the coating that people spray in their bed liners or their trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And it has kind of a grit to it, and it comes in different colors.
Yeah.
You know, we did that for a client one time on just a severe budget, and I kind of think of it more like a glue that's going to hold the thing together, give you another 5 years.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it worked, you know, and it got them through the few years that they needed to put money together for the budget.
And it had a fresh new look.
Absolutely.
And it was, yeah, there's a few products out on the market right now. One's called Deck and Dock by Super Deck. Another one is called Geico Deck by, I don't know who
Geico.
Makes that. Geico. And another product that we used to stock and sell a lot of was called Spantex. And these are products that are thick, gooey stuff with...
it's like toothpaste, I think of.
Right, like that. And then it's got it's got crushed walnut shells in there for texture.
Yes, for traction.
Yeah, and just like Linex or something like that.
Exactly.
Rhino
exactly.
Coat.
Yeah.
So I had another good question, and I don't remember what it is.
Well, here's your question for me. Or did you have
I was just going to say, you know, we were talking in the break, and you were asking me about, you know, if somebody's saying, hey, I'm considering going into buying maybe a composite deck. I'm going to call a guy, but I have no idea what the cost is. And,
oh,
you know.
Yeah. We get this all the time because, you know, on our end, the homeowner comes into our store and they say, I want a tri-level deck, you know, 20 feet in the air with a hot tub and all
right.
this stuff. And then they gasp.
Yes.
They go, it's $35,000 just for materials.
Right, right.
So I think, you know, some advice for people out there. I guess that was one of the questions I asked you is, what advice would you give to somebody?
Certainly. Well, you have to think about building a deck like it's a true investment. I mean, you wouldn't go buy a car. Well, I hope you wouldn't just go buy a car by just walking onto a lot and just saying, hey, you know,
my budget's $5,000. What can I get?
Just sell me a car.
Right.
Because we are talking those kinds of numbers on some of these real custom decks. A lot of these decks that we put in cost more than people's, you know, first homes, you know, years ago. So what I would say, you know, folks really do need to educate themselves. Go to some of these manufacturers' websites. Just do a little research on your own to find out what products you like. Look at pictures of what other people have built, because, again, you can get so creative with this stuff. So we need a starting point as to what you like. I like to send a lot of my clients to PAR. They have a really good showroom, at least here in Bend, with all the different products, the different price points for each product. Because within each, you know, TimberTech, for example, there's three or four different tiers of composite decking within. You know, it's like you go to a Honda dealership, for example. You're not going to just buy a Honda. It's, do you want a Civic? Do you want an Accord? There's different tiers.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you need to be educated on those different tiers, what's going to work for you.
That's a really good tip, because every PAR yard from here to Spokane has a good deck display.
Yes.
And you can go in and pick out whatever you want.
Yep, they have railings, they have everything.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ryan LeBlanc a little bit more about some decking tips and tricks. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by PAR Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. What was that, Tony?
I was Facebook. We got our producer,
Sean O'Connor.
Sean O'Connor, in our ears, whispers in our ears right before we come back from break. Give it to us, Sean, so the listeners know what it sounds like when we get it. Go.
Facebook.
Okay, Sean is taking a break.
Hey,
anyways, he goes, Facebook. And so we remember to let you know that we have a Facebook page. www.facebook.com/WWHomeShow. Or you can go to www.par.com, click on our faces, and choose the Facebook link.
Here's the trick, though. If you click on Tony's face enough times, something will happen.
Something will happen, all right. You'll get a blister on your finger. Anyways, so check out our Facebook page. We try to keep it up to date, try to get some good funny stuff on there. One time we had a white painting ninja, and now he's on the show with
That's
us.
Amazing.
So it's very exciting stuff. Anyway, we're talking to Ryan LeBlanc with LeBlanc Construction.
He's a premier deck builder in the Bend, Oregon area.
That's right. And he's got unique insight about decking. So here's a question that our listeners I know will find valuable.
Sure.
When somebody is thinking about expanding, right, when they're thinking about increasing the price value of their home, the resale value, and they're thinking about adding some outdoor living space, and they're thinking, you know, we'll do this, it'll make the house sell a little bit better later on. But I think that people don't really grasp, if you spend this much money, whatever it is, on your deck, does that mean you're going to get that much money back out of your deck when you sell the house?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you put in a $30,000 deck, let's just say, yeah, and I'm not a realtor or, you know, I'm not an expert in that arena, I doubt it's going to increase the value of your home by, say, $30,000 per se.
Right.
It will certainly increase the value somewhat. It'll increase the usable, I mean,
the
as well,
while
you, the livability.
Right.
You are creating an entire outdoor room. But as far as resale, you know, the number one thing I like to try to remind people is that if it comes down to your house and, you know, a house three blocks over, you've got the beautiful deck. They've got the old wood deck that they realize they have to stain and refinish and sand and take care of. Absolutely, hands down, they will lean towards the deck that's built from composite.
Right, maintenance-free or low maintenance.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And it is about lifestyle. At least, yeah. You know, I know this area more than the Valley per se, but Bend is all about lifestyle, and people do not want maintenance, and that's what we provide for people.
Yeah, you know, one of the awesome things that composite decking gives you is not necessarily no maintenance. Maybe here in the Bend market, which is a high desert, you probably don't have much maintenance. But in Portland area, in the Valley,
in Washington,
there's a little bit of maintenance.
Yeah.
And when I mean a little bit, I mean just pressure wash.
Sure.
But they
have
a little, very, very little.
Yeah, and they have some new planks out. They're what we call capped products, and they have a core that's a typical, the original composite decking, it would absorb stains. If you spilled, let's say, red wine on it, they could scratch
barbecue
fairly
grease,
easy.
Yeah.
Barbecue grease, they'd scratch very easy, and they always faded. If you remember the old original composite, it seemed to all fade to a gray or a white. Somebody out there was going, "Hey, that's my deck."
Yeah, right.
I know that one. But now they have these new capped products, and they're pretty amazing. I like to think of it as a golf ball. It's got that core that's a typical composite, but it's been capped with this harder shell. It looks great. It's got nice texture, but it's actually warranted for 25 years against absorbing stains. Like, you could spill paint on this stuff and come back a year later. You might have to scrub a little bit, but it'll come up. It won't absorb any kind of oil or grease. They're warranted against fading, and they don't scratch. I mean, they're very, very resistant to scratching.
Do you know what the coating on a cover of a golf ball is called?
I don't. Dude. Plastic.
You know, somebody said it to me not too long ago and then said, but we can't use that term technically because it's
right.
Protected.
It's protected by DuPont.
So I immediately put it out of my mind because I was afraid I would repeat it on the radio and get thrown in jail.
It's Sirlene.
You can't say that.
I said it. Sirlene. There's your.
That's the product that a baseball cover is made out of?
Baseball?
I mean, I'm sorry, a golf ball skin?
Yep.
Interesting.
That's your trivia for the day.
And that is very similar to what they use to cap these
yes, and I'll be the first to admit, I am not the scientist behind the products. And I can, you know, when I say plastic, you know, my reps get very upset with me.
Right, right.
But, you know, I'm the deck builder, all right? But they have all these fancy names for the stuff. And I know there's a lot of science and engineering that goes into the products. But
yeah.
for layman's purpose, it's a nice hard plastic cover.
Yeah.
And it looks really nice. But it performs. Really, our maintenance on these things is nothing more than, you know, the pollen falls. Or you get some just the goo and the dust and whatnot falls on it. You just go out there with some soap and water and not even really a pressure washer, just a garden hose, and just rinse it off. I mean,
yeah.
This stuff really is doing what the manufacturers are promising. It's really
yeah.
performing.
I mean, the fade resistance is a big deal.
Big deal.
First of all, this is not just saying that it has a fade resistance. What they're saying is we warranty it against
yes,
fade resistance.
It will not change. There's another deck guy that's here at the show this weekend, and his booth, he literally just keeps it outside of his house all year because he has nowhere to store it. And then he just loads it up in the truck and brings it here for the show.
Washes
it off. And I mean, year after year, it looks exactly the same.
Somebody says, "What does this look like faded after 5 years?" You're like, "Well, you're standing up."
Yeah, I send them over to his booth. I want them to come back and hire me, but you look at his booth.
I think people automatically assume that the people build brand new booths every time. But when you've got a product
that's right.
that does not deteriorate
yep.
in the weather,
yep.
it's not necessary to build a new booth every
Absolutely
time.
Absolutely not.
He's got the cheapest booth in the place probably because he just keeps using it over and over.
We keep on using it over and over.
That's awesome.
Another thing for people to consider with composites is the expansion and contraction. This stuff, it grows and shrinks considerably with the temperatures throughout the day. I know there's a lot of do-it-yourselfers that listen to your show,
mm-hmm.
and I would highly recommend that if they are going to undergo such a task that they really need to read the manufacturer's recommendations, because there's very specific gaps that they have to have at the end of a, you know, if two boards are butting together or up against the house. Because if you put it down when it's cold and it swells 3/16 or a quarter of an inch, you're going to run into some buckling issues, and that's a really, really expensive product that you just put down that you've now ruined, and you have to
go snapping heads off of fasteners.
Yeah, it's not a good deal.
No, I know those guys. I know the guys that come in and say, "Directions? Nah."
Yeah, don't be one of those guys.
I've been putting decks down for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. Well, hey.
I'm sorry. Corey is one of the guys that throws the directions out. It's true.
It's not true.
Because I'll tell you why, and it's not because of any other reason other than that Corey likes a challenge. Corey can, he's very handy, actually.
He's got that face, he does.
He's very handy in the garage. He builds furniture, you know, he can repair things. He can do a lot of different types of things. So he's very handy and capable. He's handy capable. but he's also one of those guys that likes to throw those instructions out because he likes a challenge.
Right, and that's a typical guy ego thing, and we all have that. But you don't want to do that with this. A lot of these guys come from the old school, like you're describing. They do it themselves. They've built 40 decks in their lifetime. This is a different product. They've got to be educated.
Right, agreed. Good advice.
Man. Well, we got to take another break, but we definitely appreciate all your insight. And
thanks for having me on.
Yes, thanks, Brian.
If you live in the Bend
much.
Area or you're around here and you need a deck built, LeBlancDecks.com. Check it out.
All right, awesome. We'll be back. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Stay tuned.